Welcome to Croxley Green Baptist Church Sermon Podcast.
We're going to continue our series on natural evangelism and try and help unpack that this morning by exploring this question. What is the good news of Christianity? What is the good news of Christianity? Now, if I was in the Sunday school at the moment, the hands would go up and they would say, well, it's got to be Jesus, isn't it? Jesus is always the answer. Actually, they would be right in this case because the good news is Jesus. It's the incarnate Jesus living amongst us, being with us. And we have that very clearly in the passage that Jane read to us from John chapter 1. The Word with us, the Word become flesh and present with us. That, in essence, is the good news. And I could stop there and we could all go home. But I'm not going to let you get off that easily. Because I had some other thoughts about this too. There's a comedy show, some of you may have watched it, probably not, but you may have done, by a guy called Russell Howard. And he presents a show which tries to have a bit of fun with the kind of the world and politics and news items. But it also has what I think is one of the best bits of television that I've ever seen. And it's where he, after doing lots of comedy and maybe making fun of certain people in significant roles and positions of influence, he says, but it's not all doom and gloom. Our world is not as bad as the news often makes out. And he shares a story, an example of good news. He shares something that he has found, or that his team of researchers, I don't know how it works, but he's found a story. And it might be the story of a young child who finds it difficult to mix with other children, has social issues, but his dad works in a packing factory and has loads of boxes. So he starts building, and it's a brilliant story, he starts building out of the boxes vending machine, arcade machine things. You know the arcade machines? He starts making these arcade machines and puts them in his dad's the front of his dad's place of work in the reception area. These different machines that have different slots, and people start coming in and they start playing and putting a coin in, and they play the game that he's made out of cardboard. It's amazing. But then the boy, he crawls inside these machines, and if they win, he posts out a little voucher through a little slot. And it's just brilliant. It's just a beautiful story of his imagination given life through cardboard boxes. And other times, it's a story of a family who have sought to raise money for a charity and have gone to extreme lengths. But every single time that he shares a story, it is about saying, our world is not as bad as we think. And that there is good news out there. Sometimes we just have to look for it a little bit more. And I think we all probably know what good news sounds like. I was hoping not that long ago to get some good news from the London Marathon and was hoping that a magazine would land on my doorstep that said, good news, because I could then use it in the sermon. You've won a ballot place in the marathon. You see, I was hoping for that. That was my hope of good news. Of course, I didn't get that. I got a commiserations, or actually, no, sorry, I think is what they put now, just big sorry. But we know what good news feels like when we receive it, when we hear some good news, someone tells us something positive. We know what it's like. There's a feeling inside that says this is good. So why is it that we often struggle to share the best news, the good news of Jesus, with those around us? What is it about our good news that makes us maybe too timid to share it? Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's a lack of confidence or worry that we're going to mess it all up and it's going to go terribly wrong. And have you ever done that where you start catastrophizing? You think, well, if I do this, then that might happen, and then that might happen, and then the house will burn down. And you jump from something very, very small to like the end of the world in five sentences. We worry. We think we can't do this. But the gospel that we have here, the message that we have here from Jesus says that if we go, whether we stumble, whether we make a complete and utter fool of ourselves, Jesus will still go with us. And the smallest acts of sharing can often make the biggest difference in people's lives. So what I want to do this morning is to try and understand what is the good news of Christianity and have a look at our passage and try and maybe draw out a few things that will help us to share it more naturally with those around us. Because that's all evangelism is. You hear the word evangelism, you think, I've got to be J. John. I've got to be Billy Graham. No, you haven't. Those are unique people. Evangelism is just sharing a story. It's just sharing the news of Jesus with those around you. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to explore what there is in this passage. And I think, and I'm sure other people will look at this passage and see other things, but I found four main themes in our passage, four things that I want us to look at this morning. And hopefully that will show you something of the incarnation of Jesus and how easy it is, perhaps, to share the good news of Christianity. But what I need to say at the start here is that for me, thinking about something as important as this, I need it to be grounded in reality. For me, it's not about thinking about a thing. It's not about saying, it's good news for you. God's gonna, you're gonna get to heaven when you die. That's okay. But I need it to make a difference now as well. I need it to be a place, a thing, something tangible that I can almost physically hold on to. When I was looking at this passage and thinking about it, these four things of community, hope, choice, and adoption really gave me that sense of something important. And so let's break it down into these areas, and we'll start with the first one, community. Right at the very beginning, sorry if the slide's not very visible, I need to change that, sorry about that. Right at the beginning, before all this stuff, this universe came into being, there was the Trinity. We have it in this passage, the Word was with God right at the very beginning. Before the Big Bang or whatever, or however the universe got jump-started, there was the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A beautiful and perfect community, the three in one, in perfect harmony with each other. Before the world began, there was God, the most perfect and wonderful being that there was, flawless, in an ultimate relationship with himself, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Within the Trinity, there was no blemish, no harsh word, no fear, no anger, no hate, no suffering, just love. And we've sung about that this morning. The love of Christ, the love of God. Love incarnate in the form of community. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Perfect. I tried to imagine what that perfect community was like, and I don't think I can. We're all part of families in one way or another. We have people that are close to us. And I think if we're all honest, to put our hand on our heart, that though all those families are flawed in some way. We've all had an argument or said something we've regretted. And so there is nothing that gives us that sense of perfect unity. So it's impossible maybe to fully imagine what this Trinity, this community would have been like. Our passage tells us today that this Trinity formed this community and it gave birth to the universe. It gave beauty to everything. All the world was formed and given substance. All life was created and given breath by this perfect unity. And the good news of Christianity is that this community is open to us all. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are no longer detached and a long way away. They are here with us now. This passage tells us that Jesus came to bring that community to us. The good news of Christianity means that the Trinity community is no longer out of our reach or beyond our understanding. It may not be that we can fully understand it, but it is there in a tangible, real way. It is living before us here and now because of Jesus. The good news is that the community of God is present. And not just that. It is by the grace of God that this relationship, this community, is there for us all. As we sung in that last chorus, you know, it doesn't matter what we've done. There is no sin that can separate us from being a friend of Jesus. Being in that relationship with God is possible because of the grace of God. And that is good news. That there is nothing that can stop any of us being a part of God's community. I guess my dream for us all in this community is that that Trinity relationship will be more real, more tangible every single day as we try and share the good news. Because that is what we are called to do, to share the good news that this being, the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, is there. It's for us all. The good news is that there is a community, a perfect community that we are invited to join. The second point that I wanted to think about was hope. It doesn't say the words hope as such in this passage, but it talks a lot about light. It talks about the word being light. And I love light. I think light has some interesting properties. It's all around us. It defines our world. It enables us to explore our universe in ways that we can't even imagine. Light is a sign of hope. It's always been that way. People have painted it, drawn about it, written about it. Light bringing hope. No matter how dark things become, and for now I'm talking literally, you know, the tiniest bit of light makes the world of difference. The picture up there, if you don't know it, is the Big Pit in Wales. And I went there as a youngster. And I think I was about 10 when I went to the Big Pit in Wales. And we went as a family, but with loads of other people on a tour. We travelled a long way down, or at least for a 10-year-old, it felt like it was a long, long way down. It probably wasn't that deep into the mine, health and safety and all that. But we went down in the lift. And we had all our safety gear on, our overalls and our helmets and the light. And then we went for this walk. And it was all fine because there was this string of lights down the corridor attached to the rocks that lit our path as our tour guide took us round, told us about what it was like to work down in the mines and the history of the mines and things like that. But after a while and lots of different stories, he took us down this kind of side path and into this really big room. And it was a really big room. It was there must have been about 30 or 40 of us, I think, in this group. And we all fitted into this room really quite comfortably. But it was a dead end. So, you know, you went in the door and that was it. And he showed us the coal face. And then very ominously, he kind of closed the door behind us. And it went bang really loudly. And lots of us jumped and all this kind of stuff. And he went on to explain that what he was going to show to us now was what it was like for some of the young boys that lived down the mines, some of the children that worked down in the mines, would often have to work in a section between two doors, opening and closing the doors to allow the carts to travel through, but to control the airflow, and there was lots of stuff about it. And he told us that they did this often in complete darkness, that they weren't given candles because it was too dangerous because of the coal dust and it was too expensive to give them a lantern. That was saved for the workers on the thing. So they would sit between two doors, opening and closing these doors at the right times with no light, no candle at all. Now, the darkest thing I've ever experienced, apart from what I'm going to tell you about, is probably, you know, when I've been out camping somewhere in the middle of nowhere and there are no street lights and, you know, you go out and it's pretty dark. or maybe if you've ever come back late into Croxley Green, or you've been out late in Croxley Green, now they turn the street lights off. I think it's midnight, but when the clocks change, it's 11 o'clock or something, I've noticed. They obviously don't change the timer when they do that. But I remember coming back from London, having helped out at the Baptist Assembly, and came out from the tube station at midnight, walked around the corner, the lights were on at that point. You come around the corner, and it was just like, where's the light gone? It was so dark. But that was nothing compared to what I experienced down the big pit. First of all, he turned off the lights in the room, okay? And it did get a little bit dark at this point, but we all had our lights on our helmets, so it was fine. You know, it wasn't too bad. And then he asked us to turn off our lights because they had a little switch on. So we all dutifully did as we were told, because he was the guide and you do what you're told. So we all turned our lights off, and it was just his helmet that was left on. And now it was really dark, okay? But it wasn't completely dark, because he got us to put our hand in front of our face like this. And we all put our hand, basically touching our noses. And then without warning, he turned off his lamp. And my hand, I knew my hand was there because I could feel it on my nose, but I could not see it because there was a complete absence of light. There was not a shred of light in that room. And because of that, I couldn't see my hand. Seconds ago, it was there, and then it was gone. That seemed like, it blew my mind as a 10-year-old. The thought that was complete and utter darkness. And thinking that, you know, there were children who would spend 12 hours or more doing that kind of thing, in complete and utter darkness, just feeling their way around, was quite scary. But after what seemed like forever, it was probably only a minute, but it seemed like forever, he turned on a tiny little torch, and the difference was unbelievable. You know, we were completely blind, but then this tiny dot of light, not the lamp on the helmet, just a tiny spot of light, suddenly gave life to the room. And although it was still dark, we could see each other again. We could see our hands, and one by one we turned our lights on, and the light won out. You know, didn't matter how dark it got, the tiniest of light can make a difference. Light is not only a physical presence that drives out darkness, but it is a wonderful example of hope. A hope that can transform even the worst and darkest of places and situations. The Jesus we meet in the gospel story introduced here in John chapter 1 is hope incarnate. It's the good news. What is the good news? It's hope. Hope that can change the course of a life. Hope that can change the path of a nation, and hope that can alter the destination of a soul. The good news of Christianity is hope. It is hope that is changing our world. The good news is that there is always hope, even when it seems bleak and dark, because there is nothing that can extinguish the hope that comes from Jesus. Doesn't matter how bad our world seems to get, Jesus reminds us that good news means hope, not just for us, but for everyone. Hope is always there. But the good news of Christianity is also about a choice. It's also a choice. You woke up this morning and you made a choice. In fact, you probably made quite a few choices. You could have got up, or you could have stayed in bed, unless you had kids like me who came in and said, "Dad, it's time to get up." I was like, "Yeah, okay. I'll be down in 5 minutes." And by which point they'd pulled all the chairs out and were trying to build a den. But you do have a choice. What you were going to wear this morning. What clothes you were going to put on, what you were going to have for breakfast. You might be a creature of habit like me and have the same thing for breakfast every single morning, but it's still a choice, because you could be daring and do something different. You even had a choice whether you were going to come here this morning. You have a choice about what you're going to do later on today, what you're going to eat, maybe what you're going to watch on the telly. Life is always about choices. But sometimes maybe you feel like you don't have a choice, like, well, you have to go to work or go to school or whatever, but you do. There's just a consequence if you don't. There is a choice to what we do. You could choose to go to work or you could choose not to. Your boss might not be very happy with you if you chose to lie in and not go to work, but there is a choice. So why should it be any different with the gospel? Why is it that we think it's different? In fact, right at the very beginning of the Bible, just as this chapter gives us a sense of the very beginning, so does Genesis, where it says, God gave Adam and Eve a garden, and he gave them a tree, and he gave them a choice. He put a tree there and said, don't eat from this. He didn't stop them from eating from it. He gave them a choice. A choice to listen and follow him and his advice and guidance and love, or a choice to listen and follow another. The good news of Christianity is that there is that choice that was there at the Garden of Eden remains to this day. I cannot force you to accept the good news. We cannot force our neighbours or our friends. All we can do is offer them the chance to choose. And in fact, isn't that easier? Isn't it easier to allow someone to make up their own mind? Wouldn't it be so much harder to make someone believe the message of Jesus than just to allow them to choose for themselves? Imagine the most atheist person you know. You know, imagine finding a way to force them to believe. It'd be impossible. The good news is that we present the story of Jesus and allow them to make the choice. And finally, I think the good news is about adoption. And I think this is the best bit. Better than community, better than hope, and definitely better than choice. When we see the community of God and we see the hope that it offers and we choose to accept it, and accept this gracious gift, that is when we get to be a part of God's family again. There is nothing more powerful, I think, than being accepted into a family. When I married Rachel, I was welcome and accepted into her family, and she was accepted into mine. When we see someone who is broken, a broken child being adopted and loved by a new family, I am blown away by the power and the change that it brings. Being adopted into God's family when we don't deserve it is the most wonderful and amazing thing ever. That is the heart of it. That is the truth of the good news. You and me, our friends and our neighbours, our strangers and even our enemies are all given the gift of being sons and daughters of God. So what is the good news? Well, yes, it's Jesus, but it's the gracious gift of Jesus. Even though we don't deserve it, even though we've trampled it underfoot and discarded it as worthless, the good news of Christianity is that Jesus, or grace, takes the blame. Jesus takes the shame. Jesus removes our stains. Jesus finds beauty in each and everything. Jesus came to bring us the community of God and to show us hope, to give us a choice and to allow us to be adopted as God's children. That is the good news. A hopeful community in which we choose to become God's dearly loved children. And what could be more beautiful than that? What could be more simple than that? So what's stopping us from sharing it? What's stopping us from sharing the good news that there is a community that wants them to see hope, to make a choice for themselves and to find their home? I need somewhere where I can believe in, a place, a home, a church, a family that brings me to closer to God. The good news of Christianity is that is what Jesus offers every single day and to every single person. And I pray that you will know that love, because it is love that means that you get to be a part of that family, and that you will share that love with every person you meet, whether it's through words or deeds or actions or simply being with someone when they need it most. My prayer is that you and they will become children of God and filled with grace and truth. Amen. We're going to